Thank you for visiting DerekDunn.org. You're about to listen to an audio devotion by Derek Dunn. Hope you be blessed.
Welcome back. Today we're going to talk about how to have healthy relationships. In the world that we live in, you see that relationships are degrading. Marriages are ending in divorce. People end up not knowing how to deal with conflict. And the kingdom of God is based on relationships, a relationship with Jesus Christ. Through that relationship that we come into the kingdom of God, and our relationship with one another. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 that we're all members of the body of Christ, and that each member is to supply and bring life to the other parts of the member. Every joint and supplies. But if we allow conflict to come in and cause our relationships to be disrupted or disconnected, then the life will no longer flow. As relationships begin to break down in a marriage, that's how marriages die. So today, as we talk about relationship, we're going to look at how the Bible gives us the principles or the building blocks of relationships and principles that we should build our relationships upon. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 12, in verse 16, in the New International Version, it says, "Live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, and be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody." You know, this verse of scripture tells us that we are to have harmony in our relationship with others, that we're to be of the same mind. Now, what does it mean to have harmony? The word harmony actually means that we're living in peace and enjoyment with those that we're in relationship with. Now, what does that mean? How to have peace and enjoyment in relationship? It means that we are connected. And as we come to the church, we know that God has created us for relationship. We are created for community. God has wired us for relationship. There's a need in every single person to have a relationship. People that they can share with, their joys, their difficulties that they have. You look at in the early creation when Adam was in the garden, God said it's not good that he'd be alone. And so what did God do? He created the woman. He took out the rib and formed the woman, so that Adam would have relationship. He would have someone he was related to. And therefore, out of that, community was born. So we're made to go through life not alone, but we're made to go through life together. The Bible says that that Christ makes us one body in individuals who are connected to each other in Romans 12 verse 5. So we are to be connected. You know, as you look at the relationships of people in your workplace, your colleagues, if you look at the relationships that you have and in church, you look at the relationships you have with your family, you know, ask yourself today, are you really connected to these people? Are there people that you're just tolerating? Are there people that you're just, you know, being nice to, but yet you don't really tell them how you feel and you can't really be real with them? You know, relationships should not be just association. But when we talk about connection, it talks about us again beginning to supply life to them and receive life from the ones that we are connecting to and giving to. So as we sow, we begin to reap. So as we are connected to the people around us, you know, it's not just a physical connection. It's not just being in a place where there's people. You can be in a crowd and still be lonely because you're not connected. You know, there's power in connection. In City Harvest Church, we say that there's power in agreement. The place of agreement is the place of power. And you see the power of community as we look at the Bible and you see the story of the Tower of Babel. And what happened in the Tower of Babel is they came together and they united their hearts. The Bible says that God said there's nothing that this people cannot do. And that shows the power of agreement, the power of connectivity. But the problem is this. It's easy to get disconnected in relationships. I think we can all agree to that. It's easy to get disconnected from our children. It's easy to get disconnected from our parents, from our brothers, our sisters, our friends, our family. In a marriage relationship, we can be disconnected from our husband and our wife. It's easy to get disconnected in a relationship with each other. So today, and in this series, we're going to start to look at what causes that disconnect. Why do relationships fall apart? Why do relationships go bad? What is it that destroys relationships? And how do we rebuild them? How do we get reconnected? And most importantly, how can we have these healthy relationships? The problem we face many times is that we are not taught on how to have relationships. You don't learn it in primary school. You don't learn it in university. We learn about communication. We learn skills. But we don't learn about how to have healthy relationships. But this is an important lesson that we need to learn for life. I'm sure we all agree. So today, let's look at how to have healthy relationships. What destroys them? What builds them? And we want to learn that how to have a healthy relationship and apply the principles we're going to learn in every area of our life so that we can have a happy marriage. If we're married, we can have a great relationship with our family, with our friends, and our work, in church. Now, we must understand as we talk about relationship that every relational problem comes down to one of four negative attitudes. And of course, there would be more, but I believe these classifications will probably deal with most of them. So there's four negative attitudes. Every problem we've had in a relationship is probably the result of one of these problems. These are the enemies of healthy relationships. Now, what is number one? Are you ready? Well, first of all, it is selfishness. Selfishness destroys relationships. You know, I talk to people and I tell, as I share many times, I say that many times before we were Christians, we worshiped the unholy trinity, the trinity of me, myself, and I. You know, if it's not about me, it's not about, you know, prospering me or making me benefit, then forget it. And that's many times how the world lives. But unfortunately, even as Christians, if we're not careful, that selfish nature always tends to continue to raise its head. In a marriage, you can be on your great behavior through your honeymoon, through your courtship, but as you settle down in marriage, that selfishness tries to rise up its head again. It's the number one cause of arguments, the number one cause of divorce, and the number one cause of even wars that we would see in the world today. Now, James chapter 4, in verse 1 to verse 2, it says this in the NIV version. What causes fights and quarrels? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. Now, it's very easy for selfishness to creep in where we want things and we don't get it and we get frustrated. So what happens? It leads us to fighting, leads us to quarreling because we are not having our own desires met. You know, when you start a relationship, you work real hard at being selfless or being unselfish. Like when you start dating, you know, you're there and you want to do the right thing. You can always tell when a couple is dating because the guy opens the door of the taxi or the car for her. He's carrying her bag. You know, but after they're married, the wife's got all the kids' bags and the children and the husband's walking ahead and turning around saying, "Why are you so slow? Hurry up." You know, oh, we've all seen it or we've experienced it. Say amen or oh me. Now, are you this selfish sort? We all will deal with that. And it tends to creep in into our life. Would you agree that we put more energy into starting relationships than maintaining relationships? That's true. When you meet someone, you're on your best behavior, you dress the best, you try to, you know, talk to that person and say all the right things. But as the relationship goes along, then relationship begins to downgrade. Now, we all heard about the five stages of a married cult. In the first year, the husband says, "Baby, oh, I'm so worried. You're having a little bit of sniffle. I call the paramedics to rush you to the hospital for a checkup and a week of rest. And I know you don't like hospital food, so I'm going to have gourmet meals brought to you." That's the first year. In the second year of marriage, we say, "Sweetheart, I don't like the sound of the cough. I've arranged for Dr. Tan to make a house call for you so that they can tuck you into bed." In the third year of marriage, you say, "You look like you're having a fever. Why don't you drive yourself over to the clinic and get some medicine? I'll watch the kids for you." In the fourth year of marriage, we say, "Look, be sensible. After you fed, you bathed the kids, you washed the dishes, you really should go to bed and get some rest." In the fifth year of marriage, we say, "For Pete's sake, do you have to cough so loudly? I can't hear the television. Would you mind going in the other room while this show is on? You sound like a barking dog." We all know that selfishness destroys a relationship, don't we? We know this. But why is it we don't change? Or better yet, why is it, even though we try, that we can't change? Why can't we be more unselfish? There's a few reasons. Why? First of all, it is natural. It's a human nature to be selfish. We don't think about others most of the time. We think about our own needs, our own interests, our own hurts, how things affect us personally. And we don't think about others. We think about ourselves more than anyone else. It's natural to be selfish, isn't it? By nature, all of us are that way. Now, not only are we naturally selfish, but we're also influenced by culture to be selfish and self-centered. Do you realize that every advertisement that comes out, it caters to our self-centeredness. It says things like this: just do it. Have it your way. We do it all for you. It's all about what's best for me. Sprite came out with this advertisement many years ago: obey your thirst. Now, if that isn't selfish, if it's not self-centered, what is? The attitude that we have is just obey your thirst. If it feels good, do it. If it makes you happy, do it. And that says this: it says whatever your urges tell you to do, you do it. Forget if it hurts someone. Forget if it bothers anyone else. We're just an animal, so obey our urge, obey our thirst. Live for yourself, regardless of what it does to everyone else. And you can see why this kind of attitude destroys relationships. Proverbs 28, verse 25, it says this: it says selfishness only causes trouble. You're much better off to trust the Lord. We could say that out loud to ourselves every morning. It would probably help. Selfishness only causes trouble. So I'm going to make a decision. I'm not going to be selfish today. Now, if selfishness destroys relationships, what's the counterpart to selfishness? What builds relationships? What's the antidote for selfishness? Well, friends, it's selflessness. Selflessness builds relationships. Now, what does it mean to be selfless? Well, it means that we make a decision to think less of ourselves, to think more of others, to be less self-centered. It's finally realizing that we are not the center of the universe. Philippians 2 verse 4 says this: look out for one another's interests, not just for your own interests. What a great verse of scripture to help us. That's really what selflessness is all about. Selflessness brings out the best in others. It's looking out for the interests of others, looking out for our spouse, looking out for our family, looking out for our friends or the company that we serve in. It brings productivity and it builds relationships. If we start acting selfless in a relationship, it forces the other person to change because you're not the same person anymore. Sometimes we always think about changing others and we say, oh, my wife would only change, my husband would only change, my kids were only better behaved. You know, if my boss was only more understanding. Well, as we begin to change and start acting differently, it will force change. Start loving your wife like Christ loved the church, and your wife will begin to change. Start loving your children and trying to understand them and be caring, be gracious to them, and see how they respond. Selflessness not only transforms a relationship, it transforms us. Galatians 6 and verse 8 says this: don't be missile. Remember that you can't ignore God and get away with it. A man will always reap just the kind of crop he sows. If he sows to please his own wrong desires, he will be planting seeds of evil and will surely reap a harvest of spiritual decay and death. But if he plants the good things of the Spirit, he will reap of the Spirit everlasting life that the Holy Spirit gives him. This is what this verse is talking about, the principle of sowing and reaping. And as you start out your day or you're ending your day, well, if you're starting out, make a decision today to say, I'm going to sow good today. I'm going to sow into other people and not just look out for my own interest today. As you end your day, well, look back on your day and ask myself, did I really sow the right things today? If you didn't, well, you can't change the past, but there's always tomorrow. The Bible tells us, and we can make observations from this verse. It talks about the person who plants in response to God. What does this mean? It means we respond the way God wants us to respond. We ask ourselves, what would Jesus do in this situation? How would he handle it? How would Jesus respond to this attack? And we don't do it on our own. The Bible says we must let God's Spirit do the work in us. We can't do it naturally. We've always already established naturally we are self-centered. We're selfish. How to be selfless? Well, selflessness comes as we walk in the power of God that works in us. Bible talks in this verse also about a growth work. It says in that verse that God brings about that growth in our life. It doesn't happen overnight. We don't just change immediately. You know, someone just prays a prayer and God zaps us and for the rest of our life we're selfless. Of course that doesn't happen. But as God's Spirit is working in us, as we're leaning upon Him, God will begin to help us. Sometimes we say it seems so difficult, so hard. But friends, there's a great promise that's there. Because as we sow, we will reap a harvest. What will we reap? Well, the Bible said we'll have real life in an eternal reward. What a reward! We are most fulfilled, friends, really, when we give ourselves away to others. The Bible says it's better to give than to receive. As we learn to give away our lives to others, we will begin to experience what real life is like. We'll begin to experience what Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, when he says, I came to give you life and life more abundantly, or life in its fullness. That's the life that we're called to live, a life where we're overflowing and be a blessing to other people. But how is that going to happen? How can we live life to the max? We've got to trust in him. We've got to allow God to work in us. And as we do that, God will cause us to begin to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Galatians 5 verse 16 says this, I advise you, live your life according to the new life of the Holy Spirit, and you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. It will no longer be about what I want, what I feel, what I desire, but we'll be living freely, motivated by the Holy Spirit, and we won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. As we close out today, ask yourself, are you compulsive? Are you compulsively selfish? Do you think only about yourself? You think, if I don't do that, I'm going to lose out in life. Friends, are you able to trust God today and believe the word of God, that is, you are unselfish, that God can redeem it for you? Is you so? God will change the people around you. God will change the circumstances around you. As you live a lifestyle of unselfishness, this is the only way God's Spirit can work through you and your life. Friends, selfishness destroys relationships. As we strive out in this series to change, as we strive to begin to live in harmony with one another, having this same mind and beginning to live and walk in the Spirit, living in peace and enjoyment with the relationships around us. Friends, as we begin to apply this and ask God to help us, God will give us the grace. God will begin to bring about the change in us, and we'll begin to see relationships being restored. Well, I pray that you're blessed today. Begin to apply this week and try to every day live out a life of selflessness. And friends, as you do that, look and watch and see how your relationships change as God begins to help you. God bless you. We'll see you again.
We hope you've been blessed by the audio devotion. For more information, visit derrickdunn.org and follow him on Twitter as well as Facebook.